Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, August 19th, 2024. We are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 40, the first paragraph, beginning with, "We heard no more from Fred for a while," and reading through that paragraph ending with, "Yet was flat on his back nevertheless." Today's readers are Stephanie R. and the 12 Steps, Naomi G.B., the 12 Traditions. Our Big Book readers are Nancy R. in the text, Craig F. on page 164, and Kathy S. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Karen W., and our second hour moderator is Maria F. The share ID for Sunday, August 18th, 2024, is 21,666. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, family. This is Stephanie R., recovered from Missouri. Here are 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for letting me share on iPads.
Thank you, Stephanie. I will now ask Naomi G.B. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Rick. Good morning, everyone. Naomi G.B., gratefully recovered in compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered in Ontario, Canada. 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose, 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service, and I pass. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much, Naomi. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 40, the first paragraph, beginning with, "We heard no more from Fred for a while," and reading through that paragraph ending with, "Yet was flat on his back nevertheless." I will now ask Nancy R. to begin reading.
Good morning, Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. We heard no more of Fred for a while. One day we were told that he was back in the hospital. This time he was quite shaky. He soon indicated he was anxious to see us. The story he told is most instructive, for here was a chap absolutely convinced he had to stop drinking. He had no excuse for drinking, who exhibited splendid judgment and determination in all his other concerns, yet was flat on his back nevertheless. Wow, so how did I think like Fred thought, and how do I eat like Fred drank? It's been over 25 years since I heard the message of compulsive Overeaters Anonymous and the promise of, of recovery from this crazy disease. I was interested and I had some of the symptoms. I attended OA meetings and I did the readings, and for a long time I didn't even work on the steps, so I might as well have been Fred who walked away and saying, this humiliating experience of gaining all this weight and plus all the knowledge I had, I would be able to fix it myself. Then I'm back in the state that I was in before. And even shakier, and showing up at meetings, anxious to show up at meetings and like surrendered to this program. And, I can so relate to thinking that way and to doing that and to going back to compulsive overeating. I can also relate to Fred that I was absolutely convinced I had to stop overeating. I had no excuse for compulsive overeating. And I exhibited, I don't know what splendid, but good judgment and determination, and maybe not all, but many of my other concerns. Yet here I am, flat on my back, binging and hiding and isolating and limiting my life, completely baffled. So I'm grateful that I kept coming back, you know, keep coming back, just show up. Those are things I hung on to. And, you know, for the last 2.5 years, I have been free from this insanity because I've been working with a recovered compulsive overeater and working these steps and working with others. And most importantly, power. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you for getting us started, Nancy. All right, before we get our first group announced, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back for others. Please give me your first name only and the first initial of your last name. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Roy C.
Is that Roy C?
Yes.
All right, Roy, gotcha.
All righty.
Did you hear Nate down from Tennessee?
I'm sorry.
Mary A. From Maine.
Okay, was that Mary J?
Mary A. From Maine.
Mary A. And I want to back up for Tennessee. Who was that from Tennessee?
In Tennessee. Sorry, my headphones. N-I-C-K.
N-I-C-K?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. I is a little bit garbled there. Okay. All right, so I've got Roy C. and Nick. What's initial of your last name?
It's F.
F? As in Frank?
F as in Frank. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Nick. All right. Roy C., Nick F., Mary A. Who else? This is a good time if you hadn't shared in a while or first time sharing.
Christina J.
Christina. Lori gotcha. H.
Lori H.
Okay, Lori.
Stephanie R.
Who else? Stephanie R.? All right, anybody else?
Olivia K.
Olivia. Okay, Olivia. We're going to stop right there. And this is who I've got for our lineup. Roy C., Nick F., Mary A., Christina J., Lori H., Stephanie R., Olivia K. And please remember to introduce your, you know, your name and first initial and the your location you're calling from. And Roy C., you're up first, followed by Nick F. Go ahead, Roy.
Good morning. This is Roy C., and I'm from Southern New Jersey. And this the thing that really jumped out to me at this story is that he soon indicated that he was anxious to see us. And that tells me that this is a we program. You can't do it on your own. Although he had splendid judgment and determination. And I'm like that. I have good judgment and I'm very determined. I've been involved in OA for several years and have had success in shedding over 100 pounds. But I can't do it on my own. I need the help of others to be involved in this. And this is what this story speaks out to me about. And I'm glad we had a chance to read it and think about this, because OA is a good start, but there's the need of a higher power and another human being to help you in this, if you're really determined to make it. At least that's what it means for me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Roy C. from New Jersey. All right, Nick F. from Tennessee, you're up next, followed by Mary A. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi, family. Good morning. This is Nick F. in Tennessee. Thank you, Rick, for your service. Thank you to the young lady that read. I dare to suggest, you know, it says we heard no more Fred for a while, and if I relapse, you won't hear from me either. You know, I recently was trying to be on a medication, Chantix, for to quit smoking. And, you know, this medication was so powerful, like, it made me jittery and shaky. Eventually, I had to pour that shit in the garbage, you know, because God had saved my life from not only compulsive overeating, but from alcohol and pill addiction. And having all these other addictions, when I see what the food did, nothing but the food addiction set me in a space of where I couldn't move from my bed for hours and binge watch TV and eat. So the food is, what do we say, it's insidious. Like, it is so dangerous. It's the worst thing I've ever faced. And I was taught about a broken bridge. And this morning, like, I threw that medication in the garbage about the Chantix, and I was reminded about the broken bridge. And when I went to go do something in my room, I said, there's a broken bridge. God, you're going to have to remind me that I don't want to smoke this morning. And so I didn't have to do that. But then I was another fellow on the line had shared with me, you're trying to quit smoking. The doctor said you're going to gain at least 15, 20 pounds. She told me that's not acceptable because you're a compulsive overeater. You know, God has already taken away 220 pounds from me in this program, no other. And since I've been attempting to quit smoking, God has relieved me again of like 25 more pounds. So that's over 250 pounds. But like I was just said, I can't do this by myself. I've got to get on this line. And just like yesterday, you know, I have to feed myself differently. I can no longer put things in my body that are going to keep me paralyzed. And I heard on the line yesterday, the lady was getting into, I get to do this, I get to do that. And it just filled me with fire and power and excitement. And it took me back to where God has brought me from. And this morning, I have a design for living. And I thank God that I don't have to put on another pound. I don't have to have a relapse. When I get away from my design from living, I'm quickly reminded of my feeling of do I feel a little sluggish? Do I feel a little off? And I quickly get back. God has given me a very colorful and full life. But if I get away from the design of living that had brought me here, I'll be like Fred, and you'll be wondering, where did it go? She was here, and then she was gone. And so I thank God for the power on this line, and I thank God for people doing service, and I thank God for a mind to want to do service myself that'll keep me right here. I don't have to put on another pound. I don't have to eat something that don't belong to me. My sponsor taught me it's no longer about the eating. It's finally I get to look at my thinking. So God, keep me in a space of mind to know you've given me a design of living. It's given me a great life, but this great life is not what's going to give me the power to keep the food down. It's coming to God every day. And people on this line, phew, I'm just being honest. Thank you. I hear that. I'm going to just be honest. I call this my Jesus meeting because you all say high power. Well, you all say God, and I hear Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I hear my own conception. What freedom today? No longer a slave to myself. No longer a slave to the food. I get to come to God. I get to hear the reading. It's all in the book. I couldn't conceptualize the Bible because I was drinking and taking pills and overeating. But this here, free from those things, I can now look back at the conception of God and my own understanding and choosing. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
All righty. Thank you, Nick F. from Tennessee. Mary A., you're up next, followed by Christina J. Go ahead, Mary. Go ahead and hit star one, Mary, and remember to let us know where you're calling from.
Hey there, it's Mary A. calling in from Portland, Maine, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you, everybody, for your service. Thanks for those who've shared already. And I was moved to share on this paragraph because I am Fred. I had no excuse for eating. I exhibited splendid judgment and determination in other concerns. Ask my manager, you know, ask my fellows, and yet I was flat on my back nevertheless. I had this experience with my compulsive overeating where, you know, I had periods of abstinence. I had all the knowledge of this program of recovery. I had a connection with God, and yet I found myself flat on my back and deep in the food nonetheless. And I would find myself at my favorite convenience store looking at the shelf of my favorite binge foods and like saying out loud, I'm sure the clerks thought I was crazy, but saying out loud to myself, like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know where this leads. Don't do it. Don't buy it. Don't pick it up. as my hand is reaching for it, as I'm walking to the cashier to pay for it, and then as I'm stuffing it in my mouth and feeling such regret and sense of failure. And as Nick, our last speaker, talked about, I have a former sponsor who used to say, you know, Mary, it's not about the extra green bean. It's about the thinking about the extra green bean. And I have this obsessive brain that has this weird mental twist when it comes to food, where I have zero control over my actions related to that thought. So even though I may have all the knowledge in the world, I have no effective defense against taking action on the compulsive thought. And that's where I have to have the intervention of a power greater than myself to stand between me and the action. My factory settings as a compulsive overeater are to have those thoughts about food. There's nothing I can do about that short of maybe a lobotomy. And my factory settings are to act on those thoughts. And for me, recovery is the space between. So the thought's going to happen, but the action doesn't have to happen if I have an effective defense. And my effective defense cannot come from my own thinking. It cannot come from my own accomplishments. It has to come from a power greater than myself that will intervene on my behalf in those moments, stand between me and the action that I take on the obsessive thought. And, you know, here's Fred flat on his back, and boy, that's where I was a couple of years ago, and thank you, God, I am not there today. I have an effective defense against the mental obsession and that blank thought that tells me it's okay to pick up. I don't have to pick up today, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you again for your service, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Mary A. from Maine. All right, next up is Christina J. from North Carolina. Go ahead, Christina, and then you'll be followed by Lori H.
Morning, Rick. Morning, everyone. Christina J. I'm from North Carolina, by the way. I love in the last paragraph we read, well, not the last. Yeah, maybe it is. One of my favorite lines in the big book has suddenly become, he made up his mind to quit drinking altogether. It never occurred to him that perhaps he could not do so. I love that. Isn't that the truth? Never occurred to me through all my diets, through all my trying, through all my searching for the answer that I could not stop, that I wouldn't have the power. I had power in everything else in my life. So here he is. He's pretty new. I don't even think he's done any program work. They've told him what they know. And he had no excuse for drinking. He didn't have a conscious excuse for drinking, just like I didn't have a conscious awareness of my irritable, restless, discontent life that was living in my soul. And I had to eat. And of course, what's that do? It triggers the allergy. I could go on a diet. It was beautiful. I'd get this neutrality after a couple of weeks. I'm like, all right, you know. And then something would happen in life, and suddenly I was just like, no, I need a cookie or, you know, whatever. I didn't even know. I didn't connect the dots. This book has helped me connect the dots to know that I must work this spiritual program 4 through 9 in order to become aware of the unconscious way I was running my life, my unconscious selfishness, right? I exhibited splendid judgment and determination in all of my life. I was a smart person, still am as far as I'm concerned, ha, ha, ha. Anyway, I love this part at the beginning of this paragraph. This time he was quite shaky. He soon indicated he was anxious to see us. When I first heard vision, it was like they were talking about the sunlight of the spirit. I was in my sauna listening, and I was blown away. I said, this is my problem. I don't have the sunlight of the spirit, and these people are saying the word recovered. I've got to have this. This was in 2014. I decided for the next 3 days that I was going to get abstinent, and then I was going to get a sponsor, right? Well, I didn't know, just like it says in the previous paragraph, perhaps I didn't know. I couldn't quit. I couldn't quit on my own accord, right? I could not quit. So I came back, started listening again, anxious to get a sponsor this time, as he was anxious to see them. And I got a wonderful sponsor at the beginning of 2014, and the journey has been unfolding ever since, with relapses and deeper awareness each time. And now I'm working on letting go of my thinking around my past, my thinking around the future. The food isn't calling to me. I'm neutral. I'm going through some really hard times around stuff. The food isn't calling to me as long as I stay in this program and eat my healthy meals, my moderately dense healthy meals that I love. And as long as I continue to connect with 10, 11, and 12 and share on these meetings, be of service. So that's what I thought about this program, about this paragraph. So thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Perfect timing, Christina J. Thank you. You're going to be, wait, let me start over. Lori H., you're up next, followed by Stephanie R. All right, go ahead, Lori H.
Good morning, family. Lori H. from Miami. Oh, what a perfect paragraph for me to listen to this morning. You know, I was just thinking about all the excuses that I would give myself and all the ways that I went to the food for in need of comfort or when I was tired or when I was feeling overwhelmed and I was like, I just can't, and you know, and I shut down and the excuse that, well, I'm just sick and people will have to understand. And I took the responsibility right off of my shoulders that I didn't want to begin with. And I got to tell you guys, you know, I don't want to be flat on my back and through another hospitalization period. Those hospitalization periods are a lot of work and they're, you know, extremely more stressful than anything I would have eaten over to begin with. And thank you, God, for untwisting those wires in my brain that are crossed that tell me that food is going to fix uncomfortableness. It's going to fix tired. It's going to fix, you know, all these things that only a power greater than myself can give me, the peace, the comfort, the guidance to just go rest, go rest, go put your feet up and stop doing, be a human being, not a human doing. You know, even my ego gets a hold of spirituality today. And, you know, instead of listening to my God and being still, I'm praying at God and I'm making more, you know, requests when I need to be still and I need to be listening to my God. I don't want to hear the voice of me talking to me and telling me lies today. I need to hear, you know, God's kind and loving thoughts about every single person in my life that I used to blame for my food also. You know, every person in my life, they were the reason why. They were my excuse, and I can always find an excuse in somebody else's behavior, but now I get to pay attention to my own and take that responsibility, not only for my recovery in this program, because I am responsible. There is no sponsor that is going to get me recovered. I am responsible for my recovery with my loving God, because it's my God that ultimately does the work, not me, and I don't help anyone else. I am no protector. I am no savior. I am a channel. And a channel only. These are God's beautiful children in training to be of more love and service. And we get to do that. And I'm so grateful for the responsibility just to be that channel and let the rest go today and just be the love today to everyone that I meet today, not just everyone in program, but every person I pass on the street, at least I can smile or something, you know, because I have that capacity. I'm not locked up in my place with the blinds drawn in front of the television, throwing a food party and thinking that I'm getting what I want because now I don't have to be responsible. What a lie. And I will always tell myself that it's okay to take that first compulsive bite. Today, I don't need to do that. In no small part, thanks to all of you.
It's a reminder.
I love you all.
Okay.
Wow, right on time. Thank you, Lori H. from Florida. Stephanie R., you're up next, followed by Olivia K. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Good morning. Stephanie R., calling from Missouri, and recovered compulsive overeater. We heard no more from Fred for a while, and again, I identify in because I came into program in the 1980s, and I stayed for about a year. And I didn't do the steps, and I didn't work the program, and I didn't get anything that the program could have given me at that time. And I know God makes no mistakes, and I just wasn't ready to hear the message. And so I left program, and I didn't come back until 2017. And I came back very shaky, very anxious, even at points being very suicidal. I just didn't know if I should live or how to live. And it was people in the program that gave me that sense of there is a solution. And the solution is through a higher power and a spiritual program. Slowly, I understood that I had to have a relationship with a higher power. And through that relationship, I would get answers on how to live a life that is full of joy and full of just belonging. I never felt I belonged. And even to this day, I get into those points where I don't get those crazy thoughts so much about food, but I do get unhealthy thoughts about life. And when I get those unhealthy thoughts, I stop being authentically myself, and I start wanting to be who I think other people want me to be. And I don't ever want to go back to that type of thinking, because it's through the program that I learned that God told me who I am supposed to be. God is going to tell me who I'm supposed to be today, tomorrow, and to accept that with grace and humility is such a gift. And I'm so grateful I don't have to be anyone but Stephanie today. I can't be anyone but Stephanie today. And I'm being able to do that through the guidance of God. And I was really anxious this morning, and being in the program and being here on the line has relieved that. And I'm really glad I'm in a state of surrender right now. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Stephanie R. from Missouri. All right. Next up, we have Olivia K., and then we'll take another group of names. Go ahead, Olivia.
Hi, this is Olivia K. I'm from Illinois. And happy Monday, everybody. Thanks, Rick, so much for your service, and Nancy for getting us started. I am feeling really grateful this morning to be in this program and to be recovered. Over the summer, I was just like Fred. I had called a friend again after overeating and eating compulsively. And it's a friend that I've known in the program. I started in OA in 2006. And she walked me through kind of a plan for the day and how I could change the course of, you know, the day. She even helped me while we were on the phone. I even threw out some of my binge foods. And we talked about, you know, various things that I could do, including phone calls, et cetera. And then she said, Olivia, I want you to call me first the next time before you take that bite. She said, because I don't want you to call me after you take the bite next time. And she said, because I won't pick up the phone. And she was starting to cry. And I realized then and there that she wanted me to live my life and to live a life. And that life has been just amazing. I cried after we hung up because I knew that she cared and that she loved me, and because that's what she said. And that I had not called people before I took a bite. I had called them after. And here I was, anxious to see them over and over again because I wanted help. It was all about me. I had done this again. I had eaten. I needed help. And she was saying, Olivia, no. Next time you call before you take that bite. And that has made, I don't know, it's just that shift in the spiritual realm for me, a shift that I'm putting life and my higher power and God ahead of that food for the first time. So I just share that story because it was a profound, you know, I was flat on my back. But you know what? I am that way anymore. I am not going to be that way anymore. I am going to put life first. I'm going to put God first. Too, for my sponsor who has never given up on me, and now I am recovered and sponsoring and very grateful. So that's all I've got. Thanks, and have a blessed day, everybody.
All right. Thanks so much, Olivia Kay from Illinois. All right. Before we continue with our second group of names, just a reminder, we are in the chapter more about alcoholism. We're on page 40, the first paragraph, beginning with, "We heard no more from Fred for a while," reading through that paragraph ending with, "yet was flat on his back nevertheless. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that we might let others share their experience too." Who else would like to share today? And just remember to give me your first name, first initial, last.
Katie B. from Boston.
Gotcha, Katie. Who is after Katie?
Anita J. from Massachusetts.
Gotcha, Anita J. Okay, who else?
Roz G.
Roz G. Okay.
Yep. Lynn S.
Gotcha, Lynn. Got time for some more. All right, well, we'll go with these, and then I'll see how our time is. So we've got Katie G., Anita J., Roz G., and Lynn S., and please remember to include your name, initial, and the location you're calling from. All right, Katie G., you're up, followed by Anita J. Go ahead, Katie.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G. I'm recovered in Boston. You know, I definitely have not exerted splendid judgment and determination. Well, splendid judgment in my life. I definitely have exhibited nothing but determination and pushing my will on everything. And, you know, about 3.5 years ago, I was living in the same house. I had the same husband. I had the same children. And yet, I was flat on my back. I had no reason to starve myself. I had no reason to exercise bulimically. And yet I remember there being a point where I got off the bike, I looked myself in the mirror, and God said to me, "This is going to have to stop." And I didn't care, because I'm a relief-seeking missile. I will borrow from the future so that I feel good in the present moment. And unfortunately, when I do that, I pay dividends in the future. So what needs to happen is one of the promises in the book, which is ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of my life, are suddenly cast aside. A whole new set of ideas, emotions, and attitudes begin to dominate us. So for me, that has happened as the result of these steps. I'm no longer obsessed with my body weight. I'm no longer obsessed with looking good in Overeaters Anonymous. This is not a performance for me. I'm not trying to be good, be the thinnest girl in the room. That's not what this is about. This isn't about getting into a size 6. This is life and death for me. And thanks be to God, today, you know, God has shown me what my priority needs to be. I need to be an agent for God today. God, how can I best serve? Thy will, not mine, be done. And because of that, today or yesterday, a dear friend of mine said to me, "What a wonderful life you have." And I'm telling you, nothing has changed in my life. I'm living in the same house, same hubs, kids are a little older, still calling into this line, thanks be to God. But what the grace of God has done is he's entered into my heart, into my mind. So at the end of the day, I don't need to be the thinnest girl. At the end of the day, I'm completely powerless over my addiction, but God intervenes. God intervenes with my thinking, whether it be about obsession about myself or others, right? So thanks be to God for this meeting. Thanks be to God for recovery. And thanks be to God, what is possible to change in your life just by following a few simple directions. And with that, I pass.
All right. Thank you, Katie G. from Boston. Okay. And Anita J., you're up next, followed by Roz G. Go ahead, Anita.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all the speakers, Nancy C. and for her share. I'm Anita J., recovered in Massachusetts through the grace of God. He wanted to do more, though, than just have me put the food down. And what happened yesterday was a testament to when I cooperate with God, He'll do more than have me not eat compulsively. It was my birthday. Your friend Anita J. turned 89. I have been in the program since I was 42 years old. I never left. I knew there was nothing else. No book, no this, no pill, no that. But could I keep it down? Daily, not until Vision for You. February 2014, I finally learned that piece. God thought, thank you, Anita. You've got a lot of work to do. You have relationships to mend. And, of course, when you mend them, you've got to live it every day. What's the point? Continue. We were having a party for me, my family, and something I said set my son off, and it looked like he wasn't coming. I have only 2 kids, 4 grandchildren, but one's in Utah. So 3 of us, 3, anyway, there we were, and but trying to reach him. Anyway, the point of the story is, when I started, actually, when I pray, I often just say to myself over and over the Lord's Prayer. Also, sometimes parts of the prayer of Saint Francis, you know, the things I can change, which is me and my expectations and this and that and the loving family, you know. Let it go. Let him mold his family for you. Let the boy be what he wants. The boy is now 60. That's my boy. That's my youngest of my 2 children. And, you know, anyway, the point of the story is, I know he didn't come, but he talked with his sister. He texted with me, and he said, I just can't get, I don't know if he used the word restored, but that he can't do it in one day, but that we'll get together. And no amount of pleading or anything, it was in letting go and showing me, God, show me how to be the loving mother. You know, I had some wonderful amends with him, but you can't
get the reminder.
So, it's a daily process, and I wouldn't have traded it for the world. I pass.
All right. Thanks so much, Anita J. from Massachusetts. Ross G., you're up next, followed by Lynn S. Go ahead, Ross.
Okay. Thank you, Rick, and thanks, everybody, for their shares. And like Anita, you know, I'm glad she talked about age, because my share is going to be about that a lot. I do not want to be I don't want my testimony to be that you haven't heard from me in a while. Now, I'm in Los Angeles, and it's, you know, waking up at 4 a.m. is good. You know, I like it, and I want to be heard. And then I also share at the 10 a.m. you know, Eastern Time meeting often. But I want to remain a familiar voice on these lines. But I'm working another program right now, and I'm working it like my hair's on fire. And I've had to replace some evening meeting times with those meetings, and I'm experiencing some real good changes in that area. But what I want to say is that I'm turning 61 next week, and man, turning 60 was traumatic for me. I thought I was going to die with never having this or that or this, and you know, it's just BS. You know, it's just lies, and But I remember when I joined OA, you know, 1991 or whatever it is, early 2000s when I got a little more serious about OA, I was still attending regular OA meetings. This really nice lady gave me an OA birthday party tape, taped like it was like 20 tapes back in the 80s, you know, and there were those tapes and I had a Walkman, and I listened to all the tapes, and there was this workshop, and this guy was saying, hey, when you turn 60, they're going to start telling you that you don't need as much food. And everybody laughed, and he was like, what? How could you tell me we don't need as much food? But, you know, now that I'm here, I have an issue. I have to change my food plan. Because I'm experiencing a little bit of acid reflux again, and I was experiencing that a lot. I got on a food plan, and I was doing great, and then it happened again a couple of nights ago. So I went to the doctor, and she told me about this aging thing, and don't eat this certain things at night and wait a certain amount of hours before you eat. And I'm like, oh, gosh. So I did text my my nutritionist. And I want to say I don't want to ever not be heard of again. And I need the instruction. And I need to that you know my I have to have a psychic change with aging, food plans, and acceptance and for getting older. You know, I still have the mind of a 30-year-old in a lot of ways, but I have to be an acceptance of that. I'm changing. You know, I can't exercise the way I used to. And I can't eat the way I used to. I'm growing older. I have a 30-year-old mindset. I have a lot of energy, but I have to be mature. Thank you. I have to be mature in my thinking in so many areas. Thank you, and I pass.
All right. Thank you, Roz G. from California. All right, Lynn S., you're up next, and then we'll see, get a couple more names. Go ahead. Remember to let me know where you're calling from. Go ahead.
Good morning, Vision. My name is Lynn S. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And I have a bit different of a Fred story. When I was in an 8-year relapse, I was attending an AA meeting every Saturday morning, and our table was set up in a rectangle. And I was at one end, and directly across from me was Fred. And Fred and I were both struggling in relapse. Me with the food, him with the alcohol. And Fred would get these wonderful realizations where he's got it this time. This time is different. And, you know, he was living at home and he picked up the alcohol and, you know, he was kind of a mess. But then he'd get some sobriety and this time he's got it. And he would share and talk about he's got it now, he's got it now. And then he didn't got it now. And the story went down and down and down until finally he was placed in a treatment center. And, you know, that was great. And, yep, we're back in it now. But he wasn't. He ended up in a motel. And I remember the guys from the meeting had gone to try and get him to come to the meeting. And he just couldn't put it together to come. So they showed up at the meeting. Turned out Fred died that day. He drank himself to death. And I just sit there and I realize, I remember going to out for dinner with some people. And I said, where's Fred? I haven't seen Fred at the meeting for a while. And somebody just said to me, oh, Fred's dead. He drank himself to death. And the shock and the despair of sitting across from that man for a year and a bit and just seeing the decline. And, you know, it was terrible what happened to Fred. And the same thing happened to me 100 million times, except I didn't die. But that 100 million times of I've got it now, this is it. Today's the first day of the rest of my life. And thank you, God, that's not my story now. It could be. But it's not my story right now. I am so grateful that God sent out a search and rescue mission for me and he found me and that I came with him. This program is a lifesaver. What we have here, what we offer to each other is a lifesaver. I am just so darn grateful. And every time we remember this story, I'm reminded of Fred. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lynn S. from Toronto. We have time for a couple of 2.5-minute shares. Who would like to take those?
Michelle M.
Got you, Michelle. Is that David M.?
M, yeah. Florida.
Okay, so, all right, Michelle, you're up, and followed by David. Go ahead, Michelle, and remember to include where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Michelle M. from Oklahoma, a recovered compulsive eater. And what I really get out of this is, you know, looking at myself, cunning, baffling, powerful. You know, all those external circumstances, you know, all the look good, all the logic was in place, yet here I am, 12-year relapse, bulimic. And, you know, people would say, how are you doing? I'm great. Okay, in parentheses, except for my food. Well, the except for my food is everything. You know, and I was exhibiting a great program in AA and in Al-Anon, but that's not my primary addiction. You know, food and approval are my primary addictions. And so I see myself in this so much because there I was flat on my back because there's that mental twist for me. Everything on the outside looks great, but this is not a disease that requires an external fix. It's an internal thing. You know, and I had relied on trying to live in that rationalization of the outside for so long to the point that it nearly killed me. And so being flat on my back was where I had to be in order to ask for help again. You know, what's different this time? This time I have a sponsor, I'm working the steps, I'm of service, I'm doing all those things, but I'm going to the source, not some external place for recovery, you know. And I was sharing with my sponsor yesterday after the meeting that I keep having spiritual awakenings, and after all these years, it's different. It's so different. The meaning is deeper. So keep coming back, keep doing the work. And I'm 61 years old, and I thought my life was over.
Just
hell,
a reminder.
It's just starting. Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle M. And David M., you'll close us out. Go ahead, David.
Okay, well, I feel special. Okay. Well, I hope it's a good close out. Really trying to, I don't know, this spread story really kind of terrifies me, I got to say. But it does what it does. I know I have this program. I know I'm not going to end up like, but I got my higher power. I got my fellows. But still, I mean, this disease, I found myself, you know, doing some crazy things. And it's, you know, I've been battling for a couple of days, this past couple of days. All I can think about is this story. I want to see myself. I was already almost there. I was in the hospital. I had, you know, I was in and out of the hospital, diverticulitis. I got some surgery, but who's to say, you know, I can always end up back there again, but there's always hope. There's this program and you guys, my fellows, and this program saved my life. Save my marriage. I'm really glad to be here. So I pass if anyone else wants to share. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much, David M. And are you calling, where is it you're calling from?
Florida. Florida.
All right. Thank you, David M. from Florida. And wow. So thank you, everyone, for such a powerful meeting. All right. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, August 19th, 2024, is 21,667. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Craig F. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, this is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to us, more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.